Welcome to Devotionary and our study of the book of Hebrews, called Better by Far. In today's episode, we take another look at the faith of Moses. This time, we'll deal with his faith as related to the first Passover. The story is found in Exodus chapter 3, and it contains one of the most powerful illustrations of faith as belief in action. Moses would demonstrate that it's one thing to say you have faith in God, but a completely different thing to put shoe leather to that faith by stepping out and doing what God has called you to do, no matter how strange it may sound. Sometimes, God asks us to do the impossible and improbable. But faith believes and acts on that belief, trusting God enough to obey Him. Look over Exodus 3 and Hebrews 11:28 sometime today. But in the meantime, let's see how the blood, sprinkled in faith, brought life instead of death. The author of Hebrews skips over a large section of the biography of Moses, going straight from his departure from Egypt after killing an Egyptian to the days just prior to his second departure, this time leading the entire nation of Israel into the wilderness. The account in Hebrews leaves out large, seemingly significant sections of Moses' life, including his call at the burning bush, his somewhat reluctant return to Egypt, his encounters with Pharaoh, and the first 9 plagues. From the moment God called Moses in Midian and told him he would be the deliverer of God's people, Moses had to have faith in the Word of God. When God had appeared to him at the burning bush in Midian, he had told Moses, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them." Exodus 3, verses 7 through 9. This would have been good news to Moses, until he heard the rest of God's plan. "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Exodus 3, verse 10. Moses was reluctant, even resistant to God's plan. But God told him, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Exodus 3, verse 12. God had given Moses a promise, an assurance that he was the one to do the job. God would be with him, and God would bring he and the people of Israel back to this very same spot, Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. God went on to tell Moses the rest of his plan. "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians." Exodus 3, verses 19 through 22. So Moses went, and everything happened just as God had said, all the way up to the point to which the author of Hebrews refers in verse 28 of chapter 11. There was going to be one last plague that God would bring on the land of Egypt. And while the first 9 had been troubling and even devastating at times, the last plague would be deadly. God warned Pharaoh through his servant Moses, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle." Exodus 11, verses 4 through 5. While God had protected the people of Israel from most of the other plagues, this one was going to be nationwide and non-discriminating. All the firstborn males throughout the land would die, of both man and animal, including the firstborns of the Jews, unless they followed God's directions. By God's command, on the 10th day of the month, every household was to select a lamb, a 1-year-old unblemished male lamb. They were to keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Exodus 12, verse 6. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Exodus 12, verses 7 through 13. The people of Israel were instructed to take the blood of their lambs and sprinkle it on the doorposts and lintels of their homes. This final step was essential for their salvation. God had told them, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." Exodus 12, verse 23. The blood of the innocent lamb would protect them, but it required faith and obedience. Of all the plagues, this one hit the closest to home, literally. If the people of Israel failed to follow God's commands, they would suffer the same fate as the Egyptians. Their protection and preservation required faith and action, and Moses led the way. He placed his faith in God and did what God had told him to do. The whole scenario had to have sounded bizarre to Moses. There was no precedent for killing a lamb and sprinkling its blood as a form of protection from death. The sacrificial system had not yet been given. This would have been a costly command, because as shepherds, the people of Israel put a high value on their livestock, especially the young, unblemished ones. A male lamb would have been prime breeding stock. God's plan probably sounded far-fetched and fairly sketchy to most of the Jews. They most likely had doubts as to whether it would work. You can imagine their fear and dismay as the destroyer passed over the city that night, and they heard the cries coming from the houses of all those who had lost a firstborn. They would have wondered if the blood would work. But as the dawn came, the thing that saved them was not the quantity or quality of their faith, but the presence of the blood. The Lord looked for the blood. It was the blood that saved them, not their faith. It was God who protected them, not their faith. Their faith was simply an instrument through which they expressed their trust in God. Moses and the people had to put their faith in God's plan of salvation. And when they did, it worked. It was Moses' faith in the Word of God that ultimately convinced the people of God to sprinkle the blood on their doorposts and lintels. He believed God. His faith was influential and infectious. By faith, he obeyed the command of God. By faith, he instructed the people of God. His faith in God was instrumental in saving tens of thousands of firstborn Israelites. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood. His faith showed up in action. He took God at his word and took steps to obey God's word.